Now let us go back to Romans chapter 8, shall we? I've been thinking along another line tonight, but the hymns chosen and the scripture read from Romans 8 directing my thoughts back to this Mount Everest of Scripture. We heard this morning we're looking at God with us, and God for us, and God in us. We thought of His presence, He's with us, of His peace, He's for us, and of His power, because He is in us. Now we dealt with the first one, God with us. I trust we're living in that intimacy and that awareness. The Lord is with us every moment of every day. And then we came down here to Romans chapter 8, thinking in particular of verse number 28. We know that all things work together not merely for good, but aim to good to them that love God, not to all men. They will love God. You see, to know Him is to love Him. You can't know Him without loving Him. The other way around, you can't love Him without knowing Him. Isn't that true? So furthermore, to them that love God, there was a call according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He called, He justified and glorified. Five beautiful links in this chain which is indissoluble. Foreknowledge, predestination, called in the gospel, and justified by faith and glorified. And please note that they're all in the past tense. They are all an accomplished fact in the reckoning of God. God sees the church already complete, already in heaven. That's why I don't believe in this falling away theory. You can be saved and lost and saved all over again. That's complete nonsense. Once you're in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stand. But now with that before you, verse number 31 says here, what shall we say then to these things? What things? The things that we've been talking of, things that we've been considering from verse 26 down. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In that verse there is no opposition. If God is for me, then who dare be against me? He proved Himself for us so often, and in so many ways, we thank God that we can say, He is for me, then who dare be against me? Now, slipping down to verse number 32, it says here, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with them also freely give us all things? Blessed be God our God, who gave for us His well-beloved Son, gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. He that spared not His own Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, isn't that precious? The gift of gifts, God spared not His own Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Tremendous words. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I wonder, have you received His gift? Have you accepted Him and owned Him, Lord, in your life? Not just given Him a place in your heart, not even the prominent place, but the preeminent place. Is he Lord over all? Lord over your time, your talent, your treasure. Lord over your spirit and soul and body. Lord over all. Isn't he worthy? 10,000 times 10,000. He alone is the worthy one. Now, our brother referred to that verse further up this chapter. If a child, then an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. Isn't that tremendous? Tonight we're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with our beloved Lord. I've been teaching a chorus recently. I haven't got time to teach it here. It's a beautiful chorus called Complete in Him. The fullness of Godhead body dwelleth in my lone, and we are complete in Him. And that completeness means complete plus nothing. We're actually complete, made full in our adorable Lord Jesus, and we rejoice tonight to be able to say we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 3 we read, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need, not your greed, but your need, according to, not out of the abundance of, his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that tremendous? We are complete in our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. I was rushing through an airport some time ago, and I hear someone calling Jim. Not that I think I'm the only Jim in the world, but I turned round, and true enough, this fellow was calling to me. And so he came rushing across. Jim, he said, I've just come off another flight, and I saw you, and I want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he shook hands with me and left a gift in my hand. When I got on the plane, I looked at the gift. It was for $40. I very much appreciate his thoughtfulness and care. But I knew that man to be a multimillionaire 19 times over. So you see, he didn't give me according to his riches, but out of the abundance of. But our God doesn't do that, does he? He gives according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, taking that over to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says here, it in please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I want to think that through for one moment. And please the Father that in him Christ should all fullness dwell. Verse 19 of chapter 1 says, and all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is treasured up in God's beloved Son. You might bring a great theologian like a John Nelson Darby, a great scholar like Lincoln or a Kelly. You might bring a great expositor like Alexander McLaren. You might bring the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The Prince of Evangelists, D.L. Moody. The Prince of Orators, Talmadge. And you may say to them, gentlemen, can you please tell me what Colossians 2:9 means? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. No godly men would bow their heads. And I'm sure a little tear would trickle down their face and would say, it's beyond us. Is beyond us. But listen, friend, tonight if we hear the Spirit saying to your heart and mind, in him dwelleth all the fullness, and God being pleased that that should be the joy of our lovely Lord Jesus. But now notice the very next verse, and let it rule your heart. What is it? And ye are complete in him, made full in our beloved Lord Jesus. Yet we go around like spiritual paupers, don't we? Well, we might be spiritual multimillionaires, going around like spiritual weaklings when we can be spiritual giants. Oh, to appropriate by faith all that is ours in Christ. Some people come up and say, will you please ask the Lord to give me patience? I am so impatient. I am so irritable. I don't mean to be like that, but it really happens. And they got the brain, the idea. God's going to bundle up a bundle of patience. For them, there you are, my dear. There's your patience. He doesn't do that. He is your patience. And when you're in that tight corner and just about to blow your top, you recognize you're complete in Christ. Say, Lord, take over in the situation, and the very desire to lose your temper will go. It'll go. You're appropriating Christ as your patience. Lord, send me love. Lord, send me love. Lord, I am so unforgiving. I am so hard. I am so critical in a detrimental way. I don't want me like, Lord, please send me love. And he got the brainy idea. God's in the bundle of love. There you are, my darling. There's your love. He doesn't do that. He is your love. He is your love. You haven't got this type of people. I'm going to mention it eastward. I'm sure you haven't. But those people, no matter how you try, they always rub you up the wrong way. Got them here? I don't think you have. Anyway, you're walking down the street and you see them coming up the street, so you pop into some store, never intending going to that store, but then you go just hoping they wouldn't see you. And my friend, what happens? You learn the secret that He is your patience, that He is your love. And now you just say, Lord, love them through me. Love them through me. Go, hello, my dear, how are you? Come, let us have a coffee together. What's happened? I'll tell you. The love lies began to flow. The love lies began to flow. Isn't that precious? My friend, whatever it is, you are complete in Christ. And you can appropriate Him and make Him your very own. He is your patience. He is your love. He is your purity. He is your victory. He is your peace. He's everything to you. Appropriate Him and make Him your very own. I get a bit tired of people preaching Christ in the abstract. Somebody who died upon Christ on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Listen to some place called heaven millions of miles away. You're a child of God. He lives right in you. He's the very life of your life. Every moment of every day. Oh, to live in that awareness. Have that sensitivity. He lives, and He lives in you. I was preaching at Kissy Convention some time ago. Man came up after and he said, Mr. Bosley, I've seen something this afternoon I've never seen in my life before. I said, yes. He said, I'm a secret smoker. I don't think anyone knows I smoke, but... I never said a word about smoking, did I? My ministry is not a condemning, negative ministry. It's something positive and something very much alive. Yes, I know, he said. You talked about Christ thinking through your thoughts, loving through your heart, looking with compassion through your eyes upon the multitude, Christ speaking through the lips, Christ working through the fingers, Christ walking round in shoe leather. Not I, but Christ, in every look and in every action. So whenever you mentioned the fingertips, that was enough for me. And I'll never smoke again. I could never think His holy, pure life stained with nicotine, and I'll never go back to the weed, and He never has. I've just stood there all afternoon talking about the wrongs of smoking, how injurious to the body, how filthy, how expensive, and so on. He would never give it up. What happened? The love life touched it, and it had to go. That same vast building that day, two women were seen weeping in the aisle. So someone said, Brother Bosley, will you please go and have a talk with those two women and see what their problem is? Said, not me. Not me. I go now do brethren's problems. I'm not touching women's problems. He said, Jim, will you go? So going along, I said, may I help you? You know, all the help being given, you can't help us anymore. Well, what was the problem? I hated her for 3 years. We haven't spoken for 3 years. And I said, I never said a word about getting right with each other, did I? Said, no, but you taught the love life flowing through the heart. A love life can flow through my heart. I got something against her. And she thought the same thing at the same time. And there they were, reconciled one to the other. Oh, my brother and my sister, I don't care what your problem may be or what your habit may be. You let the love life touch it, and it's got to go. Do you know something? It's not more ministry we need. Not more manpower. Not more money. Not more new methods. Not more modern music or modern versions. What we do need is for the two believers to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Amen? Now that is victory, and that is revival when that takes place. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. What's the next part? Now the next verse says, who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? Listening, it is God that justifies. Now if God has justified us, we're free from all accusation. The child can go to heaven, go down to hell. Who shall lay anything in charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Oh, joy of the justified, joy of the free. I am cleansed in the precious blood poured out for me. You too, let the wonder grip your heart. I hear the accuser roar of those that I have done. I know them well, and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Beloved, they're under the blood. Oh, what joy this should bring. Next verse says, now, who is he that condemneth? Now, notice the four things here. It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is in the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Now, for the man who died for me, who rose for me, who lives for me, and intercedes for me, will he condemn me? 1,000 times no. Our brother read verse number 1. There is therefore no new condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let the wonder of that come over your spirit life too, and tell him you believe it, and act upon your belief, and rejoice. I was preaching in a place called Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. Ezra Stanton was at that particular meeting. After the service is over, two young people came down and took the seat I had vacated in the front row, place respect and overflowing. So, after the meeting, I stand at the door as I always like to do. This young couple came up, brother and sister, I found out, both high school teachers. The girl said, Mr. Boswell, that's the most sane, rational, logical address I have ever heard in my life. I thanked her. Felt a little bit inflated. But then she said, that but always comes, doesn't it? It always comes. They inflate you, and then they deflate you. But I can't agree with you when you say we're condemned already. I said, my dear, I never said it. Oh, yes, you did. I heard you, and my brother heard you. No, I never said it. And of course, the crowd were waiting to get out. So as you say, when, who said it then if you didn't say it? I said the Lord Jesus said that. I was just the mouthpiece. Quoting John 3, verse number 18. Ye are condemned already if you believe not. 2 hours afterward, she found out where I was having lunch. And she filled up and said, could you come and have a talk? She came, and 2 hours after that, she came right through for Jesus Christ. on the ground of John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Beloved, if you never yet believed on the Lord Jesus, and owned him your Lord and Savior, and received him by faith into your heart, you are condemned right now. But that can all be altered tonight by believing he died for you, he rose from the dead for you, he lives in the glory for you, and he'll intercede for you. Will you do that right now? And know that you have been free from all accusation and free from all condemnation. Now the next verse says, and there's seven things here, and I want you to notice them. They're all in the external. It says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted sheep for the slaughter. See, Paul did not know about this wonderful country, and all the North American continent, and all the great British Isles. No. He didn't expect this to take place, you know, didn't he? Paul expected this to be the normal condition of every believer. I counted sheep for slaughter and killed all the day long. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily, didn't mean his old Adamic nature died daily. That had already been dealt with in Romans chapter 6. It was hazarded every day. And he said, I die daily. I counted sheep for slaughter, killed all the day long. He didn't know we were going to be so smug, so complacent, so comfortable, so easy to be a Christian. No, yet the Bible says, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. Yet Paul said the very next verse, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. But notice now, it's through him that loved us. There's no defeat. No defeat. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 28. You've got the all of God's planning. He's planning for you in love. Verse number 32. The all of God's provision. With him he gives all we need for time and for all eternity. And here in verse number 37, you got the all of God's power. Notice these three wonderful alls. Underline them. Tell the Lord you believe them. And act upon them day by day. Get his blueprint for your life. He's planning for you in love. And he's providing for you in love. And all his power of the risen Lord is at your disposal every moment of every day. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a grand thing to be a child of God. Oh, I pray God all in this delightful group tonight have passed from death unto life, and you come into personal contact with Jesus Christ, and you own him, your very own Lord and Savior. If you've never done so, then why not this very night? Make him your very own. He's waiting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The two last verses, and there are 10 things here, and they're all in pairs. Notice now, verse number 38. For I am persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There you got this tremendous truth right there. Notice the I am persuaded, neither life nor death, two extreme states, nor principalities nor powers, superhuman intelligences, nor things present nor things to come, all time which is ours, nor height nor depth, the dimensions of space, nor power, nor any other creature in heaven or earth or hell, angels, men or demons, things celestial, terrestrial or infernal, no power nor any creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And tonight we can say triumphantly with all our heart, if God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, He's with us and He is for us, but oh, above all, He is in us by His Spirit. Oh, may we allow Him to reign Lord supreme with an arrival in our heart right now, and pray with all sincerity, in light of what we've been listening to, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Is that true of you tonight? Do you know Him? Not a figment of your imagination, not a figure in history, but a reality living by His Spirit in your heart right now. Is so then tonight you're a Christian. You're a Christ one, because Christ is living on the inside. It's the only way you can become a Christian, by receiving Christ into your heart. May that be your joy, as is mine, and have been now for 60 years. Now I've been the Lord's work now for 50 years, traveling all over the world, because I know Him a reality, and proved Him in every vicissitude of life, and in most countries in the world. I commend Him to you. And I want you not to become religious or goody-goody or become a church member. I want you to get life. And this life is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And life begins when Jesus comes in to your heart.